You might become a serpent. Better watch out. Don't offend prominence. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, Krishna inquired from the Vidyadhara in order to show fear of disrespecting the brahmanas to all the pilgrims from the various villages who had gathered there. Krishna is addressed as the controller of the senses, Rishikesha, to indicate that he made the assembled pilgrims listen attentively to the words of the Vidyadhara. Jiva Goswami. Though the Lord was full of knowledge, as the promoter of all senses, Rishikesha, he asked a person offering respects with folded hands, some avastitam, having a human form with a shining body and golden garland, and golden crown earrings and other ornaments. And one other commentary. Krishna is addressed as Rishikesha, the controller of the senses, to show that he wanted to focus everyone's exclusive attention on the words of the demigods. So when he wanted, that's what happened. Rishikesha. And then concluding, Lord Krishna said, my dear sir, you appear so wonderful, glowing with such great beauty. Who are you? And who forced you to assume this terrible body of a snake? Vishwanath writes, how did you get this condemned body? It suggests, who did this? Jiva Goswami. Who are you with such a beautiful, astonishing form? Because of whom or for what reason did you take this form of a snake, though you did not desire it? Why? Vasha means a wish or power. Otherwise, it would not be possible for you to take a form like this. So who's Vasha? Who's the powerful person behind this event? Sanatan writes, Vasha means a wish or power, otherwise it would not be possible for you to take this a form like this. That is the implication of the questions. Krishna also wanted to strengthen the affection of the cowherds who had just seen his display of powers. Also, he asks, in order to prevent the possibility of that beautiful cowherds would offend sages deformed by austerities in Mathura district. So it's 10 after 8, and I think maybe we can end there. I was thinking to read one more verse. Well, just the one more verse says, some say it was Angira Rishi himself, some say it was followers of Angira Rishi. And because of their austerities, they had become very thin. And, not looking nice. And this Sudarshana, his name means Darshana, we know. Sudarshana, he was very beautiful. And he was proud. Some people are proud, and he was. And he was flying around in one of his vimanas, and he saw these sages that looked not so beautiful, and he laughed. That's what happened. So Darshan made a big offense due to pride. So it doesn't require brahmanas to curse somebody that does something like that. Krishna will, there's laws of, higher laws of nature that cause such things. But that's that was, you know, Krishna's question is, why did this happen? Whose vasha was it? And he, Sudarshana, takes full responsibility. Says, should we, when we make some mistake or some offense or something, we take responsibility for it. I mean, it's the law of nature anyways, but he wasn't blaming them. He was taking responsibility for his actions. Now, the sages could have done something else. They could have given him a Bhagavatam class and said something. You know, don't judge by external, like Rupa Goswami does. Don't judge. If the body of someone is not so nice, you don't deride them or have an attitude towards them because their body is not so nice. Maybe some defect, maybe something. That's an offense. Especially, it can become more severe when the person is elevated. But we shouldn't do like that. It has severe consequences. And also, we can't get the mercy from those qualified people. So, angira or angirasa, both terms are used in relation to the person who was offended or his followers. So we have to be very careful. There's similar, we'll discuss it tomorrow. Ashtavakra was offended and things like that. So let's see if there's some discussion. You're ready. You're enthusiastic.
No, I just... what you were just talking about... being cursed by the rishis, that might have been the blessing also, because that way he got the...
Association of Krishna.
Got a darshan of the Krishna.
And, yeah. And not only association of Krishna, but Krishna not only gave him back his Sudarshana form, now, you know, wiser, having learned a lesson about pride, but Krishna invested in with bhakti, because Krishna can easily give those material things, or he can easily give liberation, but he wanted to give him bhakti. So that's really special. Sometimes it's a question that we may have, or people that we're interacting with and reading the scriptures say, you know, why we hear these things with sages that curse people? Like, that's bad, you curse people. And, you know, it depends, but, you know, one of the explanations is commonly, there may be some exceptions, but commonly behind the curse is some benediction. There's some good besides, you know, you learn your lesson. There's some good meant for the other person and some good comes on the other end through that blessing, a blessing in disguise. Anything else within the room? Because otherwise, yes. Yes, please.
I had a question today. I read in the ninth chapter of the first canto, Srila Prabhupada gives this list of personalities from Mahabharata and Bhagavatam that were visiting Bhishmadev. And one of them was Angirasa. In the description, he says that this is the son of Angira Rishi Brihaspati. So is that a contradiction from what we heard?
No. My way of processing, when it says something here and it says something there, then is it a contradiction? There's some choices in the menu of how to process it. One, it's not to say if this was right, then that's got to be wrong, so what's going on kind of thing. There may be different scriptures that one is referring from that says this, or another scripture says that. And we don't like the, well, the why of the scriptures disagreeing with one another. And because they're authoritative, especially ones that our acharyas refer to. And here is one our acharya. This is chapter 34. It's not Prabhupada's commentary, but it's references from our commentators. So it may be different yuga cycles. It may be different scriptures making different references that perhaps can be from different yuga cycles. Perhaps it's an editorial mistake. That happens sometimes. But so whether it's Angirasa or Angira, and what you just referred to, Angirasa as the son of Angira, that's not a problem. Because, again, some say it was the offense of the sage himself, some say it was the offense of the followers of the sage that were undergoing austerities and therefore they looked the way that they looked. It's interesting, but it's a detail that's not essential. And different acharyas may render things in different ways, and even Prabhupada may in this place say this and that place say that. It happens. So how do we process that? You know, is it a contradiction? What's going on? Different ways of looking at it, and so that's the same list of possibilities. And you know, bottom line is it's not for our purposes of purification. It's not jugular. It's not critical. So that's how I process it.
Krishna or Rama lifted the weapon when to protect the devotees. But when it came to Shishupal, it was directly, it was blaspheming Krishna. So why did he use the Sudarshan Chakra there?
Why did Krishna do what?
Why did Krishna use Sudarshan Chakra to protect? Is it a pastime or...
He used to give him liberation because, you know, in the deeper sense, Shishupal is Jai from Vaikuntha. And to take him back to Vaikuntha, he needs liberation. It's a little detailed, but I think we read it. I've read it just recently from all these commentaries. The Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, then Shishupal. Hiranyakashipu and Ravana did not see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They saw him differently, and therefore they became relieved of the reactions to their sins by being killed, but they didn't. They, when Hiranyakashipu in his next life became elevated, which had the effulgence of the Brahmajyoti, and that's what he saw, and he left his body to give him that position of liberation, which everybody saw. It was very practical to free him so he can go back to Vaikuntha.
So Maharaj, did Shishupal, he went in Brahmajyoti, Sayujya Mukti. So he didn't go back to Vaikuntha?
He didn't, it's a detail. He didn't enter the Brahmajyoti, he entered the body of Krishna. There's two types of, this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, two types of Sayujya. Effulgence and body. He entered the body. And I can't remember the detail of how he went from that merging with the body to his position in Vaikuntha. There's some detail. of how that took place. But it was an arrangement, a transcendental arrangement. Because otherwise, from Sayuja, one falls back down commonly. But somehow, I can't remember the detail. Anyone else? Yes.
So when you mentioned about Putana and Shishupal and Kamsa, all these so-called bad personalities, they seem to, Putana, didn't put much effort.
No.
And she got the best service, one of the best
services. Yes.
And Shishupal, of course, Kamsa and all these personalities. So one may think that, it looks like it's easier to...
Yeah, just become a demon. It's easier. That's your question?
Yeah.
Of them, Putana is the only one that achieved the spiritual realm, and that was because of service. So... Your question is, you find an elaborate answer to it at the end of Canto 7, Chapter 1. Both Narada speaking and the commentaries that follow. But the answer is that which they achieve, minus service, because Kamsa didn't do service, minus service, it's not the same as achieving the Lord's association. That's very, very special. It's bhakti alone. And bhakti means favorable. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. So that's... But concentrating the mind, it's curious, because Narada says, it's easier to concentrate the mind when you're envious. Because, otherwise the mind gets distracted. The sadhana of an envious person is easier than the sadhana of a sadhaka bhakta. There's commentary you can read. Yes?
Would you please repeat that reference? What was that?
Which one are you talking about?
The one you just mentioned about.
Which one?
The seventh canto, chapter one.
Okay.
Discusses this question. The whole chapter discusses this question. Okay, online.
We have a couple questions. First one is from Shyamsundar Prabhu.
Okay.
What are the chances of going back to Godhead, even though we have knowledge, but we cannot still become detached from material attachments? How important is it to become detached from material attachments?
Well, how important is it to lift the anchor when you're rowing a boat? It's essential, it's not optional. But attachment assists detachment. There is no meaning to detachment without attachment. It's ephemeral. Now you see it, now you don't. Detachment, it requires attachment. So that's where the intention goes, is to attachment, while we're also observing detachment. Go ahead.
We have two questions from Amol Prabhu. First one, in Kali Yuga, we are told there are no qualified brahmanas. Does brahmanas exclusively mean Vaishnava devotees in this age?
No. The qualified brahmanas are of other ages. There were qualified brahmanas that can do yajñas that were for karmakanda purposes. And the qualification in this age is missing. And one of the reasons, and a very important one, is one cannot be a brahmana, all brahmanas know this, one cannot be a brahmana without undergoing samskara. And the very first on the list of samskaras is skipped. The Garbhadhan samskara is pervasively skipped. Now, there may be some persons that observe that garbhadang sanskara, but largely, there's no that's not observed. So right away, it knocks off a whole large percentage of those that are born in a Brahmin family. They're not qualified. And further, you know, the contaminations of the age of Kali are such that a qualified Brahmin is most rare.
The second question is, Sutapa and Prishni are glorified in 10th canto, 3rd chapter,
yes,
text 37, for wanting a son exactly like the Lord.
Yeah.
But Atri Muni in 4th canto, 1st chapter, text 20, is said to have material desires when he wanted a son exactly like the Lord. Is the same desire treated differently depending on the person having the desire?
Yeah. Always.
Question from Sucharita Devadasi. I find myself in constant anxiety of committing mistakes against the Lord and more anxiety regarding offenses against his devotees. Any way to overcome it?
Don't make offenses. And stay in association of those that are freed from such propensities. Now, another remedy of anxiety, this and that, is a spiritual conception of who you are and a spiritual conception of who Krishna is. And that is that even if there are offenses, then Krishna is very kind and Krishna will help you, even if there's offenses, just like we see here and so many other places. That sincerity to serve nicely and to avoid offenses combination, plus and minus, Krishna recognizes, and that's part of Krishna's protection will go to you. So anxiety is not the direction to go. Taking shelter of Krishna's kindness is the direction to go. And if you make some mistakes or offense, then you take responsibility for it. But anxiety doesn't help you avoid offenses or take responsibility for it. It's one of the lower modes of nature called the mode of ignorance, that kind of anxiety. And due to a material conception rather than a spiritual conception of who you are and who is Krishna.
Question from Satish Bhatnagar. Snakes generally swallow prey head first. Here we hear that the snake was trying to swallow Nanda Maharaj feet first. Is it safe to assume the snake was not actually trying to devour?
I don't know any statistics about head-first swallowing versus feet-first. But yes, the commentators say specifically they wanted Nanda Maharaj's mercy. That he, the serpent, went for his feet because he wanted his mercy to free him from the curse. Next.
From Vishalaksha Prabhu. What steps shall I take to meditate and focus intensively while chanting the holy name as service to Guru Maharaj?
I suggest, Vishalaksha, that you listen to the probably, you know, several hundred hours worth of japa retreat discussions, and you can extract the essences that inspire your heart the most and follow them.
Question from Hema Shruyavanshi. Is it okay to pray to Krishna for all small and big problems of daily routine, or should we not disturb Krishna in this way?
It depends on your stage of elevation of Krishna consciousness. It's not that feeling dependent upon Krishna for protection and shelter. That's one of the principles of surrender. And if the mood is you're feeling dependent upon Krishna for protection, and therefore surrendering unto Krishna for his protection, that's good. If it's Krishna, you're my order supplier, and I have an expectation of you that looks like this, then you may want to hit the pause button and do some rethinking about your relationship with Krishna instead of he's your order supplier. So it's natural to turn to Krishna for protection from danger. We see the Brijbasis do it. But, you know, they're doing it from a different position than Krishna as an order supplier. It's out of love and affection and feeling protected by him.
That's it. We have two questions from Uttama Bhakta Prabhu. First one is, one may think love is always sweet and soft. Is that only half of the story?
Ask your wife. Your better half. Next.
Generally speaking, one should be more focused on quality or quantity in our Krishna conscious life.
Both, not more. Both. In one sense, quality is more important, but quantity helps in achieving quality. It's not the essence is quantity, but it helps achieve quality. So both. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai.